have a takana from the days of the Mishnah, before the days of the Mishnah, that at the end of Kriya Santara on Shabbos morning, we may not have Torah. There's always some connection between the Kriya and the Haftarah. And if you look in the Midrash, you'll see that not only is there a superficial connection that everybody can see just by looking at the surface, if you look at Rashi on the parasha, you look at the Midrash, and you'll always see that there's a deeper connection. So this coming week's parasha, on Vayishlach, we've been reading in the last few parshas, and told us in Vayetzer, we're going to read Vayishlach. Yankiv and Esav were twins. I was in Shalavim today, so I met two different sets of twins. Both of them are not identical. I have a daughter who lives in, I have four daughters who live in Eretz Yisrael. So one daughter lives in Ra'anana, has two sets of twins. One set of twins is identical. Mama, she can't tell the difference between one and the other. The little kids, probably in the third grade or fourth grade, so they switched yarmulkes one day and they sat in each other's seats and they fooled everybody. They fooled the teacher, they fooled everybody in the class. No one knew. I don't know the difference. I assume my daughter knows the difference. I don't see them, so I don't know the difference. Yankiv and Esav were clearly not identical twins. Yankiv and Shcholok and Esav are very different. Yankiv was afraid that Yitzchak was going to catch him in the lie. Why you mishen yavi? These men and kibbutz satay, they were clearly not twins. Rashi points out the connection between Parshas Vayishlach and Haftarah, that after Esav receives the gift, so he says, we'll go together. Esav b'nei Elcha, Elcha b'nei Decha. And Yankiv drags his way out of it, and he says, it's not a good idea. You wait for me. I'll be there later. When is he going to come later? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Well, the Moshe Ma'atzidish, but sorry, he's going to come in a few thousand years. And this is Man HaGula. That's the concluding passage in the Haftarah. Well, the Moshe Ma'atzidish, but sorry, he's going to come. So that's the hidden meaning, the hidden connection between the Parsha and the Haftarah. You look at all the services like that. There's always a Medrash that gives you a deeper connection between the Parsha and the Haftarah. The Gemara always takes it that the Esav represents the Christian religion, who claimed to be the twin religion with Judaism. Everything starts off, Yashkev was a Jew, Yashkev was Jewish, and then they go off a little bit. They claim that there's a Judeo-Christian heritage, there's a connection between the two. There's no connection whatsoever. They're not identical twins, they're not at all identical twins, they're very different. Very easy to tell the difference between the two. And the Rambam has in one of his famous letters, he gave us Mishmat, where he writes, you ever go to a wax museum? He said they have a statue, a big statue of a person. So if you have a real human being standing next to the statue, the exact same, let's say you have President Clinton next to the wax statue of President Clinton. You can't tell the difference between them. One is blinking his eyes, and one is warm. And one is breathing, and the other one is dead. It's wax. It's not breathing, and it's not blinking, and it doesn't have any body temperature. So the Rambam says if you have Judaism next to Christianity, these are twins. You can't tell if this is alive and thriving, and this is dead. They're two different things. How can you make a mistake? Can't tell the difference between Avodah Zarah and the true religion. Every few years, we have a group of cardinals come to visit the yeshiva. Quite a few years ago, Cardinal Lustiger, who already is on the other world, used to be the Cardinal of Paris. He was born a Jew, and his parents gave him over. His parents were not religious. His parents gave him over to Christians to save him during the war. He was brought up as a Catholic, and then he converted. And then he remained, and then he worked his way up. He became a cardinal. So he walked into the yeshiva in plain clothes. He was walking around. Now you can't just walk in. Now they have guards. You have to have ID. They're afraid they're going to have a bomb. This was before all the tzaras. He walked in and walked around. And he sees that the rebbes give shiurim and gemara in the same classrooms that they use for the college. And he couldn't understand. By then, it's a contradiction. Whoever goes to university in Europe doesn't want to go to theological seminary. How can it be that here they have in the same building, in the same classrooms, they have the secular work written on the blackboard, in the same classroom the Rebbe teaches more? How come by us there's no contradiction? So the Terence is simple. The same Bari Yodom who gave the Torah created physics and chemistry and biology. There's not, because it's in physics, it's chemistry, biology, that's all in Hashemai. You can't have any contradiction. The Torah is Teres Emes from the same author, from the same Bari Yodom. They have Avodah Zarah. So of course Avodah Zarah is going to be in total contradiction to everything that's true with the world. What's the tzushtal between Sheker and Emes? So that didn't occur to him. That Teres didn't occur to him. There are other two reasons also. I mean, you should get up inside to take an oath of celibacy. You go to theological seminary to become a Catholic galach, so you're not allowed to get married. You have to be crazy. We get married. Some of the Catholics have to take an oath of poverty. You should get up inside who wants to be poor. There are many terutzim. So he didn't think of any of the above terutzim. The only terutz that stuck out that he thought was the terutz is the chavrusa system. They don't have a chavrusa system. So he walked up to Dr. Lim's office. Dr. Lim b'mikre happened to be free. Or Pilek Lim. Dr. Lim, when he was the president, now he retired. He was over his head when he was president. He gave his life for the yeshiva. He gave up, came out every minute of the day. He was busy raising money, working. B'mikre happened to be free. So he said, so Lustige, the galach, asked the secretary. He's Dr. Lim. He was up to, yeah, he's available. So he goes in and he says, he's the cardinal from Paris, cardinal. And he'd like to study the Harusa system in the yeshiva. So he'd like to bring a group of cardinals. What's Dr. Lim going to say? No. He said, okay. Said, okay. So he saw the boys learning the Harusa. So he finally came to realize it's not the Harusa system. It must be something else. So they just came recently. So this time they came with a new. Every time they come up with something new, they're trying to figure out what's the secret. This Lustige passed away already, but because he was the Rosh HaMadabrim, he was the originator, so the Cardinal Paris, I forgot his name, Cardinal Paris, not the Rosh HaMadabrim. He doesn't speak English well, so he had written down the whole text and he distributed to all the people present at the session the text of the drasha that he's going to give, and he asks his Hashem HaSchachim. He understands that Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, was the father of modern orthodoxy, that you can be modern and orthodox at the same time. And modern means you live in this world and you do call the Varasar. So they want to know what's the secret. How can you be called orthodox and at the same time be modern? So they understand the teretz is because Dina de Malchus Adina. It's a halachic principle. Dina de Malchus Adina is supposed to follow the law of the land and he's still called orthodox. So they want us to tell them what's the secret. They want to know how they can be from the Catholics and modern at the same time, so there shouldn't be a sphere between university studies and the theological studies. So Dr. Lim retired from the presidency, but he had to attend the session. He was the one who got involved in the first place. So Dr. Lim had to be mopsick them in the middle and said, no, that's not what I mean. Dina Mahus just means you gotta pay taxes. Has nothing to do. Nothing to do with it. We don't accept the laws of the land to change the religion. And they explained to the Galachim who were all there. Rabbi Soloveitchik follows the same Shulchan Aruch as the Jews in the Ashura. The same Shulchan Aruch, the same Gemara, everything the same. The Aguda just celebrated the Siyum HaShas. Every 7.5 years they make a Siyum HaShas. On another occasion, the Galachim came the morning that the Siyum HaShas is going to take place. That's been 7.5 years before the Siyum HaShas. So, Julie Berman at that time was the chairman of the board of the yeshiva, of the Reeds, the seminary. So Julie Berman had to be there at the session. So, Julie Berman's a lawyer, a Muslim, she was a lawyer. So he was explaining to the Galachim that by us, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not restricted only to the Rabbanim and the Machanchid. Every balabas is mechuyev to learn Torah. And he told them that there's a system of daf yomi where we study 2 pages a day, and tonight is going to be a big siyum and tens of thousands of people. The last Siyum HaShas that we just had now was more than tens of thousands of people. Then there was a tremendous crowd of people. And he explained to the Galachim that the Ruva, the overwhelming majority of the people who are learning this in Mashas are not rabbis. They're doctors and lawyers and engineers and balabatim. And they give the shir on Daf Yomi. They learn Daf Yomi. And it's giving such a description of what Daf Yomi is all about. So the Galachim said, they went with that. So he said, okay, you have to come in plain clothes. You can't come with the whole get-up if it's wrong. Come in plain clothes and have English. Then, last year, Mashas, almost everything was in Yiddish. Maybe one drosha was in English, I don't remember. This time, almost everything was in English and one or two droshas in Yiddish. But last time, everything was in Yiddish. But they had simultaneous English translation for those who don't know any Yiddish. So the Galachim was sitting there. Julie Berman had gotten good seats. They were sitting there and they're listening to English translation. But they didn't understand the first thing about what Liman HaTorah is all about. They have no Muslim. There's nothing in their religion that parallels Torah. Nothing. The Torah is not just a collection of laws. By then, they have a collection of laws. Torah is not just a collection of laws. Torah has a 630 mitzvah. You have to observe everything that it says on Torah. But according to our tradition, the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't really understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. There's an expression that appears in the Kuzari, approximately like this, and other philosophers from that period have such an expression, Ili Yadayitiv Hayisiv. If I would understand what the essence of Elikus is, I would be the Rabban Shalom. The only one who really understands Elikus is the Rabban Shalom himself. So the Rabban Shalom had to give us the Torah, which is a mashal of Elikus. Rav Chaim Volozhin explains, Nefesh HaChaim, if he would give us a mashal, we wouldn't understand the mashal either. The Torah is a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. To try to understand mashal hozen l'chad v'shmaya, what's possible for human beings to understand what Elikus is all about. And Rashi and Chumash in his commentary on Parshas Mishpatim quotes the Medrash. Rashi made the Medrash famous. Rashi made a lot of Midrashim famous. The Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel says, Kashayim ha-mashal ha-kadmayni, as the ancient proverb goes, so who is the Bala Machaber of the ancient proverb? Who is it? Confucius? Who's the Mashal HaKadmoni? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Torah is a Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Kadmon Shalom. He's the ancient one with the capital A. And what does it mean, Mashal HaKadmoni? So the Chofetz Chaim explains in one of his Sforim, doesn't only mean that it's a mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is absolutely authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dictated word for word, letter for letter to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe, when we learn Torah, we're learning what the essence of Elikus is to the best of our ability. The Baruch Shalom can't explain, we'll never understand. And he can't give us a simple mashal, we don't understand, we wouldn't understand a mashal either. It's a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. And it's a very serious business. If you mess around, you're fooling around, you say the false pshat in Chumash, you say the false pshat in Halacha, you're describing a different religion. The Mashal has a famous comment in Baba Kama, on Daf Lamed Ches, in the Yom Shel Shlomo. He says that if a person misrepresents on purpose what Halacha is, sometimes you're about to make a mistake. But if you misrepresent on purpose, that's like you're describing a different religion, a different God. And that's Yehari Balyana. That's Avodah Zarah. You have to be very careful with the Liman HaTorah. The Chachamim have a tradition based on the Pasuk of Navi. Gam ki yitnu b'agoyim ato akapten. Yitnu b'loshem asnisi. That we will only deserve it to the Gulu Hasidu Yeschus of Liman HaMishnayis. Liman of Torah Shebal Peh. Years ago, the Iker learning used to be Torah Shemitzav until the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period. And then the Seder Olam writes, Mishemesu Chagas Chayim Malachi Botla Nevulam Yisrael Mikam V'yel Achatoz Nuchoshmat Dibre Chachamim. Starting from that period of Nanshe Knes HaGdala, that was the beginning of the period. It was always Torah Shabbat. We have Mishnayis and Shkolim, we have other Gemaras, but they quote the Roshas that were made by the Chachamim during the period of Bayis Rish, Zul Medrash Dorosh Yod HaKoyim. It's an Haftarah B'Parsha Shkolim. He darshan the din in the Chumash. There are din of the Rabbanim, there are drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh and the Kufa of the Bayis Rish. But the Iker development of the Torah Shebal Peh was after the Anshei Knes HaGdolah came in, because that's what it says in Seder Olam. Up until the Anshei Knes HaGdolah, there's a whole historical explanation why. Until Anshim Ten Sagdel, the Dikul Liban was in Torah Shabbat Zav, and Kamiyela Chato Hosna Chosh Mandi Vechachamim, Dikul Liban has to be in Torah Shabbat Peh. We can't understand Torah Shabbat Peh unless we learn Torah Shabbat Zav. A lot of yeshivas, they neglect. They're not Mabesedra, they don't learn Chumash, they don't know the names of the Nevi'im. They don't know who the Nevi'im are. Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi, they think these are Christian thinkers or something. These are holy Nevi'im. You have to know what the names of the prophets, you have to know what they said. All of Hashkoch is based on Tanakh. You can't base Hashkoch, you can't invent something from thin air. You have to learn Torah Shebech Zav, you have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, but we live in a period that the Ikar emphasis has to be on Torah Shebech Zav. And in Torah Shebech Zav, you have to have a Masorah. Torah Shebech Zav, we talk about Masorah, the Masoretic text, the Ksiv, is called the Masorah. But in Torah Shebech Zav, everything depends on Masorah. So Al-Pi Halacha, until the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi, there was a stronger Masorah Al-Pi Din, because the Masorah is being transmitted Baal-Peh. Gvarim Shebech Zav is supposed to be transmitted Baal-Peh. And after the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi, that's how the Gemara says, they saw the Sifra Shalom HaMarishon, they saw that Rabbi Rav Ashi served Hayruah. So what does that mean? Why is that the end of the period? Because after the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi, that's when they wrote down the Mishnais. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi edited the Mishnais, but we assume he edited it, and it's still being recited by Peh. They didn't begin to learn Mishnais and Tachaksav from a written text until after the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi. That's how most of the Achreinim assume, and most of the historians assume. So after that period, that the Torah Shebaal Peh is no longer being transmitted by Peh, so Al-Pidin, it's a lower level, it's a weaker level of Chachmei HaMasorah, but they still need Masorah. We in Yeshiva are very fortunate. We have a tremendous Masorah from Rav Soloveitchik Zechano Livracha, who was known as a tremendous original thinker, but he wasn't an original thinker in a way. He didn't invent things from thin air. He had heavy, heavy traditions on how to read Gemara, and how to understand Chumash, had heavy traditions on Pesach Halacha, had very heavy traditions. He was a very original person in formulating what these traditions were. Now and then he would come up with an original Hanhaga also. He was original once in his own Halacha, but most of the Hanhagas that he had, that he's known for, are traditions that he had from his father, from his grandfathers. He had two grandfathers, they were both very prominent Rabbanim. From other Rabbanim, he had traditions from other Rabbanim in Europe. Heavy, heavy traditions. How to understand Chumash, how to understand Gemara, how to Paskin Shailos, traditions how to Paskin Shailos in Shulchan Aruch, traditions on Hashkofa. And people make a mistake. They think that learning is a game. Young people in yeshivas, so in order to get them interested in learning, so the Rebbe sometimes has to make it very sweet, like candy. So you make a game out of it. Learning is supposed to be pleasant, but it's not supposed to be a game. Rabbi HaMelech was given Musa by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he said, Torah is supposed to be pleasant, but it's not supposed to be Zmiris, not supposed to be a game. Now, Soloveitchik used to make fun. His grandfather, he once said jokingly, his grandfather was greater than the Maharal Miprag. Maharal Miprag made a goylem, that's how the fable goes. The fable was invented in the 1900s. It doesn't appear anywhere before. So he said, Maharal Miprag supposedly invented a goylem. He was in one place at one time. My grandfather invented a gavra and a chefzit. He was in all the yeshivas at the same time. So people, he said jokingly, he used to have a very good sense of humor. So people take the terminology of Akhaya, and they take any Gemara and they just make, well, it's a Gar and a Chefs and a Malos and a Chal Hashem, they just throw out a whole bunch of words and shite. Everything is parent. You can't just throw around the words. You can't just toss around a whole bunch of words. If you read the introduction to the Birch HaShmuel, written by Rav Baruch Be'er's son-in-law, the introduction is written by the son-in-law, so he describes what Rav Baruch Be'er, how he used to learn, so he quotes Rav Baruch Be'er used to say, you have to have a masorah how to formulate a kasha. Which kasha is an acceptable kasha? We would often learn a Rav Soloveitchik, someone would ask a kasha. He would say, this kasha doesn't bother me. What do you mean doesn't bother him? Someone asks a kasha from another Gemara. Okay, we'll worry about it some other time. When he learns the other Gemara, he'll worry about it. But right now we have to figure out what it says over here. You have to have a tradition, what kasha you should work at, what kashas you should worry about. You have to have a masorah how to formulate a terrorist. There's some teruts that are just idiotic. You're stupid. They don't make any sense at all. You have to have a tradition. What's a kasha? What's a teretz? We are fortunate that we have this tradition in our yeshiva. It's not the way Masorah was before the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, it's the Masorah from after the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, but it's a very strong Masorah. I want to wish you all continued Hatzlacha by all of the yeshivas that you're learning in. You should try to get as much from the Rabbeim as you can. Don't just be satisfied with what the Rebbe says during the shir. You have to pester the Rebbe before the shir and after the shir, and ask about Chumash, and ask about Hashkofe, and ask about Halacha L'maaseh. Try to get as much from the Rebbe as possible. Yaakov Avinu stayed 14 years in yeshiva, so you should try to convince your parents. You already learned 8 years at elementary school, and then high school was 4 years, that's already one. So you got another couple of years, okay, sure. Shana Bet is the 14th year, okay. So the parents are not so bad. I belong to the parents' union. The children always wonder, why did the Rabbanu Shalom have to create parents? What do we need them for? Parents are not so bad. You should thank your parents that they're sponsoring your gear in Eretz Yisrael. You should appreciate it. Have HaKaras HaTayf to your parents. And if you'll explain to them nicely, without making a confrontation, without making a mohama, if you'll explain to them nicely, why it will make sense that you should stay Shana Bet or Shana Gimel. You all people, you're all Shana Bet already. Explain to your parents so they'll be reasonable, they go along. Try to see to it that you should continue learning. Klal Yisrael needs more Talmid Chacham. We need a lot of people in Chinuch and Rabbanus. And if you want to go into some other field, whatever field you cut out for, you should go into that, you go to another field. You're not part of from Bnei Torah. Like Julie Berman said, most of the people who give the Shir or Daf Yomi are businessmen, are doctors and lawyers and engineers. They're not Rabbanim. Everyone is Mechuyev in Talmud Torah. Everyone is Mechuyev in Habatzas HaTorah. Whatever you do for a living, you are Mechuyev to continue learning, and you are Mechuyev to continue to be Marvitz Torah Barab. We should all have Atzlacha. Make sure that you continue learning for many, many years to come. A good Kabbalah.